Okay, and we are recording.
All right. We are meeting virtually pursuant to Public Act 101-064 and the Governor's Disaster Proclamation dated July 23rd, 2021, and as renewed most recently on November 10th, 2022, and Section 7E of the Open Meetings Act. As Chair, I have determined that a fully in-person meeting is not practical nor prudent due to the disaster. The December 5th, 2022 meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is being conducted virtually and is hereby called to order. Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Trustee Clay.
Present.
Trustee David.
Present.
Trustee Chiara.
Present.
Trustee Schneider. I saw.
Present.
Okay, we go.
Present.
Trustee Smart.
Present.
Trustee Timms. He is joining in a bit. Trustee Watkins.
Present.
And Chair Zopp.
Present. A quorum exists for business of the board to begin. Ms. Bates, will you certify that the notice for this meeting has been given pursuant to the requirements of the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, Chair Zopp, the meeting notice requirement has been met. Notices were posted 48 hours before this meeting in the Cook Administration, Student Union, Dylan Brooks Library buildings, and online.
All right, next we'll go to approval of the board meeting agenda. Are there any comments or corrections to the agenda? And then I'm hearing none. I move to approve the agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it. And the agenda is approved. At this time, we will hear public and employee comments. The board will not hear presentations or entertain questions on the following topics, issues under negotiation as part of the university's collective bargaining process, statements concerning the private activities, lifestyles, or beliefs of individuals employed by or associated with the university, grievances of individual students or employees, or any personnel matters. Comments shall be limited to 2 minutes. The board will call speakers who have signed up to speak prior to the meeting. Ms. Bates, do we have anyone who signed to speak?
At this time, no individual signed up to speak.
Okay. In that case, we will move to the minutes. So with approval of the previous minutes, are there any corrections to the September 12, 2022 minutes? Hearing none, I move to approve the September 22nd, 2022 minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Oh, I'm sorry. We have to do this by roll call. Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Schneider?
Sorry. Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
And chairs up.
Yes. All right. The minutes are approved. And then we are going to move to President Scott's report. President Scott, I turn it over to you.
Good afternoon, Chair Zopp and Vice Chair Snyder and members of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees. I hope that each of you had a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday. I'm happy that you were able to join us for just a brief update on campus activities. It feels like just last week, I was reporting on the successful kickoff to our fall academic year. But as we close out this semester, I want to share with interest and engagement that there has been a lot going on at Chicago State. And we remain a healthy campus, and our enthusiasm and engagement continues to increase. Our students continue to engage our administration and provide their feedback what is, to my, in my mind, a crucial understanding of the necessary level of support to ensure their success. Trustee Smart, in her role as a student trustee, has raised with the university concerns regarding the food services provided in the university's food service areas. The administration is committed to addressing these issues. I've met directly with Trustee Smart regarding her concerns, and as a result, members of the student our student affairs area has gotten involved with students and have conducted a student survey to solicit feedback. The administration continues to work with the vendor regarding necessary updates, and we will continue to survey students on their experiences in our dining services area. But please know that this remains a high priority for us and the administration of the university. And in addition, the semester was highlighted by a series of town hall events hosted by the administration. Each session was well attended, and we were joined by the university's marching band, the Marching Soul of Chicago, who led a tutorial section in two of them for us on how to do the infant's cooler shuffle. The university's senior leader met intentionally with students, faculty, and staff to share important comments and campus updates and to hear feedback from community members on how they're experiencing the university. During each session, our Vice President of Administrative Services, Michael Holmes, provided updates on ongoing capital and construction projects. If you've been to campus recently, you will have noticed that several of our parking lots have been successfully paved, and there are numerous other ongoing construction projects. The work will continue after the winter season concludes, but for now, our faculty and staff and students have the experience, the long-awaited experience of parking lots that are not only pleasing to the eye, but also more pleasing to our cars and our tires. Work on the university swimming pool is also continuing. Projects updates include not only a complete renovation of our pools and operating system, but also an update to the exterior facade of the swimming pool facility. We look forward to welcoming you to campus for much anticipated reopening of Chicago State's pools. Our campus projects that continue to progress include campus sidewalk replacement, upgrading our exterior campus lighting, and a complete upgrade to the university's elevators, which will begin this week in one of our buildings. I'd also like to take a minute to provide you an update to our progress toward hiring two senior administrative positions. The university has partnered with national search firms and identified, we are in the process of identifying a CFO and a CIO, but we're also excited that the university has hired a new chief internal auditor, Stetson Marshall, and a new vice president of enrollment management, Oscar Rodriguez. We look forward to bringing other candidates to introduce to the board at a later date, but note that our hiring of senior leaders and mid-level leaders is robust and continuing. On October 24th, Chicago State University welcomed Brett Hart, president of United Airlines, and members of his team to campus to learn more about CSU's leadership in higher education, access, and equity. During the visit, President Hart and his team toured campus and met with members of our Division of Student Affairs, our executive director of the foundation, and met with several of our students to talk about our Cougar commitment. The team also visited the Jones Convocation Center, where they met with members of our athletics department and our men's golf team, who thanked them for their generous travel supports for our men's and women's golf teams. On November 21st, Chicago State was honored to welcome four-star general Daniel Hokanson, the 29th chief of the National Guard Bureau and member of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to campus. General Hokanson was joined by Major General Neely, director of the Illinois Department of Military Affairs and a commander for both the Illinois Army and Air National Guard. The leaders met with Chicago State ROTC students, and General Hokanson shared with the Chicago State community about his journey in military service, leadership, and opportunities available through military careers during a student-led fireside chat. Also, as outlined in the university's strategic plan, securing support for our students' success and providing them with access to opportunities for leadership development and career explanation remains a key priority of the university. I'd like to conclude my remarks by sharing that on November 17th, Chicago State University hosted a gathering of predominantly Black institutions and their presidents in Washington, D.C. to meet with federal stakeholders to share about the important work of PBIs and the needs of our students. I was joined by presidents from PBIs all over the country as we met with U.S. representatives, U.S. senators, and representatives from the U.S. Department of Education, the White House, the National Science Foundation, and the National Institutes of Health to learn about opportunities available for PBIs and our students. We were also joined by members of the Illinois Federal Congressional Delegation, including Senator Dick Durbin, Senator Tammy Duckworth, Representative Robin Kelly, and Representative Danny Davis. We were further joined by Mark Morial, President and CEO of the National Urban League, and Harry Williams, President and CEO of the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, who shared about the importance of PBIs in continuing the critical work of Black student access and completion in higher education. Not only did we inform our campus about this visit, Senators Duckworth and Durbin issued their own press release about visiting with PBI presidents. We're looking forward to continuing our conversations and welcoming more stakeholders and partners to CSU to introduce them to our incredible students and faculty here on Chicago State Southside. I'd like to thank the members of the Board of Trustees for your unwavering support in our efforts to ensure equitable access and opportunities for our students and for Chicago State University. This will conclude the president's report to the board. I'm happy now to take any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, President Scott. It sounds like you've been busy. Are there any questions for President Scott based on her report? I have a question regarding, are you anticipating will be the outcomes of the meeting in DC? What were the goals and what do you think are next steps?
We had several goals. First of all, there are a number of members of the House and Senate who are not aware of the existence of PBIs because the PBIs are a creature of federal statute, federal law. They're also not aware of the budget that is typically appropriated for PBIs. So our first goal is to introduce the existence to members of Congress and make sure that they understand that there are funding lines for PBI institutions. We were also looking to increase the funding line, the discretionary funding line that's dedicated solely to PBIs. In the current federal proposed budget, that funding line is about $22 million. What we were asking members of Congress to do is to increase that funding line to $350 million that would support PBIs across the country. At present, the U.S. Department of Education calculates that they're anywhere between 67 and 72 PBIs, depending on who's doing the math. And if that $22 million funding line stays in place, that means about each university would receive about $123 for each student, PBI student on their campus, which is clearly not enough to support PBIs in their education. So the first thing we're trying to do is really increase the federal budget, the proposed federal budget for PBI institutions. We believe that in the future, we will, as we continue to increase the numbers in our coalition, that we will grow in size in terms of the number of the coalition. Right now, there are about 17 PBI institutions who are participating in the coalition. And Representative Danny Davis has agreed to be the caucus, to help us form a PBI caucus in the House and to lead that caucus. And we've also received other commitments from other senators and representatives to join the PBI caucus. So that's a third thing we're trying to do is really create a caucus and secure membership from members of the Senate and the House.
Thank you. Thank you. Just one last question. On that funding, how does it, who appropriates it? Like, how do we get it? And who decides how much each institution gets?
The funding is appropriate. First of all, it's appropriated by, you know, by appropriation bills in the House and the right. Senate. So the who decides, it's I think the part of it, it comes from recommendation from the Department of Education, which is why our meetings also included meeting with the Undersecretary of the Department of Education. It also is a creature of coming from the Senate. In our conversations with Senator Durbin, we were seeking his support for increasing that funding line. So it ultimately will be a part of the federal budgets that is passed by the House and Senate. But
I guess my question is, the appropriation goes to the Department of Education, and then the Department of Education disperses the funds?
That's true. That's the way it's handled.
And it's a grant we apply for. How do we get dollars from the Department of Education? Do we apply? Do they just make a grant every year based on university size? Once they have the money, how do they then disperse it to the institutions?
Typically, that money is dispersed in the form of grants for various levels of support and academic and activity on the campuses of the university. For example, we have two PBI grants on our campus right now that were the product of applications by Dr. Roundtree for grants for various activities to support our students. I think those grants are five-year grants. Is that right, Dr. Roundtree? But we expect that if they increase that discretionary line, that we'll see opportunities for grant and grant activity based on that line.
Got it. Thank you. Any other questions for President Scott?
Yes. Can I ask how large the ROTC program is and whether there's opportunity for strengthening or enlargement of that relationship with the general's visit?
Dr. Roundtree, I'll leave that to you.
I can't tell you the exact number. It's not very large and it's predominantly Army at this point, but the meeting was very good and we now are talking to the Illinois representative about expansion for our ROTC, because he was here with the general as well.
And one of the program officers not only supports Chicago State's ROTC program, but also supports ROTC program at UIC. So there's joint sponsorship for the programs between our two universities.
That makes sense.
Okay. Thank you, President Scott. We're now going to move to the university reports and resolutions. And we'll start with Dr. Leslie Roundtree, Interim Provost and Senior Vice President of Academic and Student Affairs, to give the Academic Affairs Report and HLC update and a one resolution.
Thank you, Chairman Zop. I just like to say, reinforce what the President says, that we are had a great semester so far. We are now in finals week and looking forward to the end of another successful semester. As you may have seen in the Academic and Student Affairs report, there is an extensive amount of activity going on a regular basis. A few things I want to highlight is our dual enrollment and dual credit program. We were able to bring in 84 students this year, and I really appreciate the College of Arts and Sciences and their faculty for working to build courses. And we are actually running a speech course at Corliss High School and getting rave reviews. And we look forward to the data on the student grades, which should be coming out next week. In addition, we were able to host Network 17 on our campus. So all the principals, which is 19 principals from schools on the south and southeast side, were here. And we were able to share with them about our dual enrollment and dual credit programs, as well as our Rise Academy and Cougar Commitment. And they were very excited, and we received requests from numerous of those schools to come in and talk to them about some of the other programs that are happening here at Chicago State. So we believe that we're beginning to make inroads in reestablishing our connections within the city. We also brought in our third cohort of RISE, and that was 30 students. So we have about 128 students in the 2022 cohort for RISE, and we look forward to their successful completion. I'd also like to point out we have completed our retention analysis from fall of 21 to fall of 22. And we again have seen another increase of 4% in retention of our students from year to year. So in the last 2 years, we've increased by 13%. Our goal is to be closer to around 80% as a total for a year, but we are now at 63%. And I'd like to thank the faculty and staff who are working diligently at looking at how we can improve services and meet the needs of our students. And we're seeing the efforts that are now paying off. We have, in the last week, we just received our official notice of our team for HLC. It will be a 4-member team, with the chair being a Dr. Meredith Wentz from the University of Wisconsin Stout campus. So now that we have finalized our team, we will now begin some of the planning around the scheduling of their visits and all of the events. We have successfully completed our student survey, and we will be getting those results soon. Well, we'll be able to see them, as well as the team will receive them, and then we can address them when they come to campus on the efforts, the things that the students are sharing. I want to thank all the students and the faculty for really working hard so that we have a robust turnout in that survey, which is important for HLC to see people are engaged. We also have had faculty focus groups. We had 2 in person, and we'll be running 1 more, I believe it's next week. It is a Zoom to really engage faculty, and again, to also get their feedback prior to the visit, and also talk with them about what to expect in the visit. So we are moving quickly with the drafts, meeting with the consultant again about some of the feedback, finalizing some of the evidence in the full document, which we hope to share with the president and the board in early December or mid-December, if not early January, so that you can get feedback, give us feedback. So that's my report. Things continue to go well. But we do have 1 resolution that we'd like to bring forth to the board.
Dr. Rountree, before you get to the resolution, do anybody have any questions for Dr. Rountree about her report or the Higher Education Learning Commission? I just had, first of all, Dr. Rountree, congratulations on the retention numbers. Can you remind me where we started? You said we had increased over a couple of years. I think you said 13, 14%. So does that mean we were at like 50-ish?
We were at 50%.
Right.
So, and across the board, we're seeing it across the board, all levels of students. And so we're kind of breaking down also, really now looking at, besides level of students, programs, where are we seeing the biggest gains? Where are we not seeing gains, so that we can continue to make impact?
Terrific. And And then the last thing I had was in the draft of the of our kind of response or submission, will that include the student survey, or will we have some way of getting highlights from the student survey?
Yes, we can send those forward when we receive them.
Okay, perfect. Anybody else have questions on Dr. Rountree's report so far? Okay, hearing none, Dr. Rountree, I will you can go ahead with your resolution.
Yes, our one resolution is to request tenure and rank for Dr. Elizabeth Davies, who joined us as the Dean of Arts and Science on July 1st. She comes to us with extensive experience in the field of psychology, and she submitted her portfolio as well as her vita on her academic experiences in teaching, research, and service. She has met the criteria for full professor and tenure, and it has been reviewed by the faculty, the chair, as well as my office and the president. So we would like to ask that Dr. Elizabeth Davies, who's here with us today, receive tenure and rank as full professor as under our rules of the board.
All right. So first of all, I was remiss in not welcoming you, Dr. Davies. Welcome to the board meeting and welcome to Chicago State.
Thank you.
Any of the trustees have any questions for Dr. Rountree or Dr. Davies? If not, can I get a motion to approve the resolution for tenure for Dr. Davies?
So moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Smart.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
And Chair Zopp.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
Terrific. Congratulations, Dr. Davies, and welcome to Chicago State. We are very happy to have you with us.
Thank you.
All right. Dr. Rountree, I think that concludes your report. Am I correct?
I do, but I did want to share with Trustee Schneider, we have 15 students in ROTC.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Then we are going to move on to Dr. Potlori's report on the graduate school enrollment and the graduate school report.
Thank you, Chair Zapp, President Scott, the Board of Trustees, Provost, and other members. Can you see my screen? Yes, okay. So let me put this on the screen, that way you can see it much better. Okay, that's better. So before I give you some of the figures, I just want to show you one of the goals. We had a strategic plan when I came in about 2.5-3 years ago for 5 years. I'm only showing you goal 3, which actually relates to the enrollment and other matters. So we had a target of 5-8% annual increase in enrollment. That was our target. We also had a target of adding additional staff member. We wanted to streamline our communication and workflow process. And we organized campus recruitment activities to target junior and senior undergraduate students. We also working with the Global Engagement Office to increase international enrollment. And we also had a plan to support academic programs, departments, and colleges. Graduate school works with all the departments. We have a different kind of enrollment. So if you can look at the performance indicators below, the staff member, of course, I'm discussing still with Kim and Provost to see if we can get a staff member. The education is changing, graduate education day by day. So what I asked 2 years ago, probably I don't need that right now. It looked like I need a different type of person. So I'm going to discuss with the Provost to see if we can improve our graduate school efficiency a little bit. You will see the numbers in a minute. We moved the applications for certificates. Everything is online right now except the endorsement. So that will be probably done this semester. And we also increased the students dealing with us for the recruitment. So these are some of the highlights. If you look at the numbers, this data was from October 17. So the undergraduate probably has changed a little bit. The graduate data didn't change. We got increased about 9% over fall 2021. If you look at, you'll see in a minute, actually, I gave you a five-year data in the next slide I will show you. International student has increased significantly this semester compared to last fall. Three programs, computer science, library information science, social work enrollments increased very significantly. College of Arts and Science graduate enrollment increased considerably. You can see those numbers here, the green, in the green highlight. You can see yourself the number increases. How do we do marketing and do these things? So if you look at how students are hearing about CSU grad programs, if you, some of you probably are here when I showed you this kind of chart about a year and a half or 2 years ago, things have changed slightly. At the time, we didn't have the mobile ads. Now you can see that mobile ads are actually, this is alumni 17%. I'm sorry, you're not seeing that one. That is 17%. This used to be about 30% at that time. Website was 31%. Now alumni is about 17%, mobile ads is 19%, website still is a large 31%. That's where people are getting information about CSU. Google is 12%. So between mobile and Google, we are getting large exposure. So LinkedIn actually wasn't useful last time and it's not useful right now. I can see it right now. Search engine also is a big marketing for us. People are searching for CSU, and I'm getting about 6% of that inquiries from the search engine. What are the programs people are inquiring about? When we do our analysis, people are asking us questions. We have email, UChat, and inquiry forms combining all of those. This is about 300 inquiries, I think, if I'm not mistaken, approximately. You can see that computer science still attracts a large inquiry pool. MBA is getting a very high inquiry. Social work, public health, educational leadership and administration, elementary education a little bit. Those are the major counseling, I beg your pardon, counseling. These are the major programs which people are asking us information, so they want to apply to CSU. So just for a few numbers, these are the five-year numbers you can see yourself. When I started, I had about 629. Right now we have 740. This is only graduate students. So I think if I go back 5 years, you can see that we have the highest number of graduate students this semester. Got a little bit dip last year because of the COVID, but we have caught up and then we are increasing a little bit. This is the College of Arts and Science numbers. You can see 3 year data. College of Arts and Science has gone significantly higher in 3 years. One of the reasons is library information science and computer science both have increased this year very significantly. These are the major programs in the College of Arts and Science which have increased. Biology remained kind of flat, but we are trying to get more. This is the only STEM program with a bench research. So that's one of the things I'm talking to the department to see if we can change the programs, because all our competitors removed their thesis requirement. They're just doing the coursework and capstone. We are still doing a research based master's in biology. I'm talking to the department to see if we also can adjust our programs in a way to attract more students. Social work, again, as last year, it dipped a little bit, but we have gone up and actually increased over 2 years, last 2 years. This is TPS, Technology Performance. This is online program. It is going up also. Library, you can see library information science. This is again another online program, completely online program. You can see the increased, steep increase in this program. Computer science, this increases, this is mostly international students in master's. So you can see the international student numbers have gone up this year. So you can see the increase. Criminal justice stayed flat. We are going to concentrate on marketing criminal justice for the next semester and the fall as well, because we think there is a lot of potential for criminal justice among our police force and first responders and everybody else. We're getting inquiries about the program. Clinical mental health slightly dipped, but school counseling has gone up. Between these two programs in counseling, they are actually maintaining their numbers. So you can, these are the numbers for the College of Arts and Science. health sciences, OT is slightly down, but we have a lot of competition. We are trying to adjust, and then the help of provost and the department, we are trying to market to see how we can improve these numbers. Public health, we are getting a lot of information. Right now, I have about 70 or 80 inquiries from West Africa. So there's a lot of international interest in public health, of course, that as a result of COVID, I'm sure. But we are trying to see how we can help and translate that into our admissions and enrollment. Business administration has gone up in the 3 years. You can see the numbers have significantly gone up this year, enrollment 37 to 49. And we are hoping we can at least stay there, if not go up higher again for the next fall, if not for the spring. College of Education graduate programs, you can see a slight decrease in the master's programs. This is in line with the national trends. Nationally, a lot of African Americans and minorities are not coming to teaching professions. It's a national trend. So compared to a national trend, we are not doing badly, but we are focusing on it because I am seeing a little bit downward trend. I am focusing on it to see how we can improve it. But again, nationally, a drop is much steeper, especially among the minorities taking up teaching education. The doctoral program remains kind of steady. We can see 28, 29, 31, that's kind of steady. We are not losing anybody. The endorsements are still coming up. These are these teaching and teacher endorsement. They already have a degree, but they need a certification to teach in the schools, CPS especially. We also had, I think you had it in your report or previous report, we had a memorandum of understanding with District 65. We are planning to have some other discussions with about another five districts to see if we can get more students as a cohort into our principal prep or early childhood and elementary education. There are a few other things. College of Education is talking to them. We are hoping by next fall, we will have at least another three or four districts sending their teachers to us as a cohort for our College of Education programs. This is the international graduate student enrollment. As you can see, as I was telling you, we have gone up significantly this year from 65 to 122. I didn't have time to submit to you using a different hat as the tuition committee chair, I didn't have time to submit, but a lot of our competitors are changing their tuition policies to attract more students. I haven't researched it, but probably by your next meeting, I might be able to submit some kind of request to see if we can change that. We don't do any marketing internationally. This is just our own alumni and everybody talking. Everybody, our competitors have their representatives in West Africa, India, recruiting students for them. We don't have them. We are not spending any money on that. So that is something else I'll have to discuss with the president and the provost to see if we can also start doing some marketing internationally. Scholarships, thanks to the president and provost, we have been giving scholarships for the last 2 years. This year, my money got reduced a little bit, but still we managed to give 50 scholarships to graduate students in the fall. We gave about $1,000 each, which is a great help for us because that helped us retaining the student. You heard Provost saying our retention numbers are up. This is not the reason, but it's one of the reasons to we got a retention higher up. So again, thanks to the president and provost, they listened to me and then started putting some money into the scholarship funds, and then we are giving scholarships. I'm hoping this will continue so we can increase. Lastly, just to give you, it's not graduate school. For the last 2-3 years, we have not been doing this in person, but this year we first time we did in-person induction. This is a great honor for the students. We have great students. These students are selected not just for their grades, but for leadership activities. These are our student leaders, our graduate students. This is a National Honor Society. We had about 27 students for the last 4 years. Only 12 of them showed up, but President kindly came to the function, honored us by her presence, and we inducted 12 students into the National Graduate Student Honor Society. That's Alpha Epsilon Lambda. And so this we will now continue every year as a live thing. I think probably that's all I have. Thank you so much for all your help. And with the chair's permission, I will answer any questions if you have.
Thank you. I think Can I go ahead and ask a question?
Yes, go ahead, doctor. Go ahead.
I'm wondering where the students originate. So that is a huge.
I was going to put that also, but 90% of our students come within 20 miles radius from the campus, other than the international students.
Specifically, I'm interested in the international students.
International students, computer science is almost probably South Asia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh. Health science and business is from West Africa, mostly. We do have students, one or two from a lot of countries, but if you're talking about majority, the majority of interest in West Africa is business and health sciences, and majority of interest from South Asia is computer science.
And you said you don't spend any money on advertisement. It's only word of mouth.
And what are our virtual information sessions we organize through the graduate school?
Thank you.
When I said we didn't spend, I wish I could spend some money, but that's a different story.
Any other questions for Dr. Puttlori?
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, we're now going to move on to the enrollment management. The enrollment management report. When I call on Kim Tran, Chief of Staff, and Oscar Rodriguez, our new Vice President of Enrollment Management, to give the report.
Thank you, Chair, Trustee, members of the board, President, Provost. I will go ahead and share my screen for the enrollment management report for the December 2022 board meeting. With this first slide, I'm actually would like to leave it up and turn over the mic to Oscar Rodriguez, our new Vice President of Enrollment Management, to for an opportunity for him to introduce himself to the board as well as members of our audience.
Thank you, Chairperson Zopp, the board trustees, president, guests. Thanks for joining and allowing me to speak a little bit today. My name is Oscar Rodriguez. I'm a 25-year admission professional. I've been working in higher education in admissions in specific for all that time. All of my work has been primarily focused on undergraduate students, students of color, underrepresented, students of other sorts, so students from low-income backgrounds or perhaps students from rural areas. I was excited to see this opportunity here at Chicago State University apply and be offered the position. I'm very strongly committed to these students and to these populations, and I think it is critical for Chicago State University to be here, to grow, to continue to serve those students. I believe it's important for us to share the benefits of CSU both in and out of the classroom. And I do in fact believe that there is a market for us if we do in fact follow the data, align what it is that we're doing and provide students what it is that they're looking for. So I'm glad to be here, and I'll turn it back over to Mr. Tramp to actually deliver the report.
Thank you, Oscar. Great. So with the enrollment management report proceeding forward, we wanted to get a chance to share some additional context regarding enrollment nationally that we're seeing. And most notably, in a recent report from October 2022, a report from the National Student Clearinghouse, which is the entity that's responsible for collecting and reporting on national enrollment data, noted that national data continues to demonstrate stress in undergraduate enrollment. There was a decline of 1.1% in fall 2022 compared to last fall 2021. However, it noted that the rate of decline had slowed over the last 2 years during the worst of the pandemic. You can see here the differences in the figures of 3.4% decline in fall 2022 compared to the 2.1% decline from fall 2021. So the rate has slowed. However, it's difficult to assess or difficult to predict at the national level, given that there are changing economic conditions and other factors, which may include the persistence of pandemic effect. As part of that report, it's also recognized that there are declines depending on which sector or which segment of the undergraduate populations. And notably, again, the largest declines for public four-year institutions were within the Black student population. And we've recognized that this is a challenge nationally. A report in August published by the Chronicle of Higher Education examined Black student enrollment and noted that over the last 10 years, for a period of 10 years, between 2010 to 2020, Black student enrollment declined at an alarming rate, 17%. And we know that from Illinois, there has been a substantial decline of 32% between this a specific period that was examined by the Illinois Board of Higher Education between 2013 and 2020. The October 2022 report, therefore, finds that there has been a decline in Black student enrollment over the last 2 years, from fall 2020 to 2022, which is the steepest demographic decline, which reflects institutions not supporting the enrollment and engagement of Black student populations, which is reflected in both nationally and statewide as well. So with this national context, I wanted to get a chance to specifically share about the fall 2022 enrollment report for Chicago State University. And it does reflect a 1% increase compared to the census date. So our official census date, which is the date that institutions are responsible for reporting term data for fall 2022, was September 25 earlier this fall. And this is the date that the snapshot of the headcount that date is what is reported both nationally for national figures, but also to our statewide agencies as well. And on that date, our total headcount was reported as 2,325. Since then, we've had additional opportunities to enroll students either through a third cohort of a Rise Academy program, which is our transition program, and first year supportive program for academic success for our first year freshman students, as well as special session enrollment day for opportunities for students to enroll in short 8-week session for courses that are specialized and or accelerated coursework. And therefore, that final enrollment period for the institution closed on October 17th, and actually it reflects a 1% net increase at the undergraduate level since that census date, meaning that our final fall 2022 enrollment date is, snapshot is 2,338. And notably, this figure is net because that means that after this figure is what our enrollment is for the fall semester, given any possible withdrawals of students due to extenuating circumstances out of their control, whether it's finances, work schedule, or otherwise, since the original census date of 2025. This final figure of 2,338 reflects a 1.3% decline in total headcount from fall 2022, from fall 2021, which is anticipated based on a understanding of coming in nearly flat for our figure, and also is comparable to declines at other public universities in Chicago that we've seen. UIC had noted a -1.3% decline, and Northeastern Illinois a 11% decline. So I just would like to close with activities that support enrollment growth. There's several activities that have continued to persist and engage on. Most notably, for example, we've been able to reclaim 116 former Chicago State University students. So supported by our grant through the Thurgood Marshall College Fund, Chicago State University has deployed a campaign and strategy specifically to re-engage and re-enroll stopout students. Stopout students are defined as students who have left Chicago State University for any reason over the last several years, but have not continued or completed their collegiate education at any other institution nationally. And so working with a universe of several thousand students who have left the university going all the way back to fall 2007, We have been able to engage through calls, emails, physical mail, and other communication avenues to re-engage our former students. And for this fall, we have been able to reclaim or re-enroll 116 of those students who are have worked with us on an individual basis to be able to re-enroll and continue their college studies towards the completion of their CSU degree. We will continue working with these students so that there's smooth welcome and transition back into our academic learning, as well as continuing this campaign for the spring 2023 semester as well. We've been able to host Chicago Public School students for the first time in a number of years. Due to the pandemic, a number of school districts, including CPS, had restricted in-person engagements. But this fall, due to relationships that the admissions and recruitment team, alongside the president and provost, have been able to develop with school leaderships, we've been able to build that relationship to be able to host a large-scale event for the first time in years due to the pandemic, where we were able to host multiple high schools who came to our campus to learn and hear from the president, provost, and other leaders across our university, as well as to see our faculty and student services showcase all of our programming as we move towards engagement of recruitment and enrollment for these high schools. And so we are continuing to move forward with specialized engagements with these high schools and their high school principals and counselors as well. And finally, to close, we do have prominently two particular employer partnerships for enrollment. These are with Discover Financial Services and Amazon. These programs allow their employees to be able to enroll at Chicago State University through what it was a similar to a structure that is an employer tuition reimbursement program that would allow their employees to be able to enroll into a number of coursework and majors, program majors into the university. And we're continuously working with both of these corporations to allow our teams to be able to recruit and engage their employees towards a spring 2023 enrollment. So we hope to have some figures on enrollment of both Discover and Amazon employees at the next board meeting. That will close out the Chicago State University Enrollment Management Board presentation, and happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Are there any questions for Kim?
I have a question. I'm curious. You stated that the higher ed reported that there were some extenuating circumstances related to the decrease in African-American students enrolling. And I thought I heard you say one was financial. Did they call out anything else?
Right. Thank you, Trustee Watkins. Absolutely. So yes, the report, I'm also happy to share the link to the report through for Teresa to be able to share to the board as well, to that special report that came out in August. Yes, there were a number of reasons. It noted, in addition to the economic hardship in the Black communities, it also noted that college admission practices, created bias or created concerns where there was not robust engagement and access points for the Black student population, as well as the sense of belonging was not provided by the institutions, which caused retention issues and concerns among the Black students as well. And so there were a number of factors that were noted altogether at the national level across different sectors of institutions.
Thank you so much.
Kim, I have a quick question. I know that, I think it's awesome that you guys have been hosting CPS students. I was wondering if you could speak a little to, when you think about the Black student population decline, are you intentional about recruiting from some of the suburban areas that have high African-American populations? I'm thinking Proviso Township, Rich Township, Thornton Township as opportunities to build an additional pipeline of Black students to the university?
Absolutely. Thank you, Trustee Timms, for that question. I want to provide some thoughts here and then also turn over to Oscar Rodriguez, who's also been looking and assessing on the engagement with the team, and he also has some figures on additional visits and activities that the team has been engaged on. But absolutely, there has been targeted efforts around what we believe are most likely populations and geographical areas where we're likely to have a high yield or high engagement for our students. And so the president and provost began by engaging in areas such as the south suburbs, engaging with community principals and political leaders in that space in order to engage and make the case for Chicago State University as well as Aurora and other areas. And we're also exploring, for example, East St. Louis. And so between these different areas, there absolutely is a recognition where we can further engage the Black student population, potential student population as part of our recruitment activities, as well as redirect our, whether it's personnel investments or marketing investments as well, as appropriate to engage and support our recruitment efforts. And I want to turn it over to Oscar as I recognize that he also has some additional insight.
Yeah, the reality is that they didn't necessarily have the staff nor the training nor the reach to get out to other parts of the Chicagoland area and the state of Illinois. So if you look at what they did last year we attended, we did 68 events last year with the team that we had at that time. And this year we've already attended 234 events. And I expect that we'll get to 500 or 600. And with a little bit of training, a little bit of strategy, a little bit of insight, helping them learn how to schedule, I expect that we'll get to 700 to 800 to 900 maybe events in a year. That means high school visits, college fairs, et cetera, et cetera. And certainly, as Mr. Tran tried to highlight, we have to expand beyond Chicagoland. So we will certainly be in areas like Peoria, East St. Louis, Lake County, Indiana. And who knows what will come out of some of the other conversations that we'll begin having with PBIs about doing some joint outreach to different areas, right? So perhaps we'll have some of our PBI partners in Chicagoland, and maybe they'll help us in Detroit or Indianapolis or Milwaukee. We'll be able to mix, change the mix of campus a little bit, which will help us in terms of tuition revenues in addition to student population.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? All right, thank you. Essence, Trustee Smart, I skipped you. I am so sorry. We would like to have the student trustee report, if that's all right.
Thank you, Chair Zob. It's fine. I was just listening. I'm going to be reporting from my laptop.
Okay.
Because it won't let me present on my iPad.
Okie doke.
Here we go, everyone.
Yes, we can.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is the fall 2022 end of semester student trustee campus report. First, I would like to start out by saying our campus is thriving and continuing to elevate. Post-pandemic, we are excited to be back on campus. As you can see, we have a lot of students who are engaged this semester, including the Chicago State University National Panhellenic Council. I just would like to say these prestigious students have heavily contributed to the student engagement and community service of our beloved university this semester. And here are some NPHC end of semester highlights. Here are a couple pictures. And here are some other highlights for the semester. This was on Giving Tuesday. Here's a picture from the First Generation Scholarship Gala. Here's a picture of BSPA and Sci-Chi at one of our basketball games this semester. And one of our most recent campus events was our Christmas tree lighting ceremony. Here's some pictures from that. And I would just like to wrap things up by saying congratulations to Chicago State University on another successful semester. And I hope everyone enjoys their holiday.
Thank you, Essence. That was a terrific report with one exception. I did not see enough red and white in those pictures. So I'm sorry, next time. I know they're there. So I know my sorors are there. So I know you're gonna capture them in your next round of photos, right?
Yes, when they're there, for sure.
Okay. And we're gonna make sure they're there next time. We're gonna be having a conversation with the chapter. All right, sorry. Thank you, Essence, that was terrific. And now we are going to move to Finance and Audit Committee. I'm going to turn it over to Trustee Schneider.
Thank you. And I will call on Mr. Dennis Stark, the Interim Chief Financial Officer, to present the Financial Operations Report and start with that. Mr. Stark, I think you are on mute.
You're on mute, Mr. Stark.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm delighted to be with you for the first time representing the finance department at the trustees meeting. I thank you, Chairman Schneider, for your assistance in getting the resolutions prepared for today's meeting, which Dr. Scott will be doing at the end of my report. I have been here 2 months at this point in time. I also want to thank Kim for all of his assistance in preparing the materials that we have today with regard to tuition and mandatory fees. In terms of the financial reports, you each have a copy of them. I think there is essentially nothing to say about the statement of net position. It is increased over a year ago, and about $12 million is the increase, the bulk of which is accounted for in fixed assets. The next largest change is in accounts receivable. That's a cyclical thing that happens in all schools, and of course, this is the meeting closest to the fall semester beginning. We also had an increase in the accounts payable, and I believe that too is related to the cyclicality of our payments and receipts cycle. So that would be my
I think we've lost you again on to mute.
That's an increase of $13 million. The second page is a statement of expenses and revenues. And as has been indicated to you, we had an increase in attendance in the fall, and that's reflected in operating revenues increasing over $1 million from 9/30/21. From 9/30/21 to 9/30/22. The loss was reduced primarily because we'll have had more revenue. And at the bottom line, the net income was $600,000 greater than the year before. In terms of the changes in cash, that's unfortunately the increase in cash no longer represents much increase in income because short-term rates are so low I don't have any comments about that. There's nothing extraordinary there, nothing to worry about that I can identify to you. In terms of the report, in terms of the detail that occurred there, I don't have any comments on any particular item. I'll be delighted to answer any questions that you might have. The last page of the report is the quarterly investment report, and there is nothing going on there that I can identify for you. The bulk of our money is invested, but we don't earn very much on it because of the average interest rate is below 2%. That would be my report for the finances, and I'd be delighted to answer any questions that you might have about the financial affairs of Chicago State University.
Do any of the board members have any questions for Mr. Stark? All right, hearing none. Trustee Schneider, I know we have a couple resolutions. I also know the language changed. Do you want to, I don't know how, I haven't had a chance to open them. I don't know how long they are. Do you want to read them, or does everybody had a chance to take a look at the new resolutions, or do you want to at least go over them, Mark, so we know what they are?
I don't know that I can.
Right, hold on.
I think President Scott was going to present the resolutions. Is that, right?
That's correct.
Okay, well, then we will turn it over to you. Sorry, Mark.
Okay. Good afternoon, everyone, again. After our public audit and compliance committee meeting, it was requested that we divide our resolutions that related to proposals regarding the three proposals that were discussed at that meeting. The first proposal was a 5% increase in tuition. The second proposal was to modify our calculation of fees based solely on from full-time to part-time students to a process where we are our fees are tied to credit hour, so that students who are taking a specific number of credit hours will be charged a specific fee in a specific fee category, rather than just breaking it down between full and part-time students. And the third proposal related to a fee increase for intercollegiate athletics of $24 based on your credit hour accumulation. Are there any, so those are the three proposals. One, and there we're asking that the board, based on the results of the audit committee meeting, that the board vote separately on each of those proposals, one on the 5% tuition and fee proposal, the credit hour modification of fee structure proposal, and the fee for athletics proposal.
Okay, we're going to need to take those separately, but I also think that Dr. Watkins has a question.
I do. My question is, if we just heard the report by Kim Tran.
Yes.
Said, who gave us the kind of the reasons why the decline in African-American students is occurring. And one of them was finances. And so my question is, why are we asking for an increase if that's one of the impediments?
Thank you. That's a great question, Dr. Watkins. First of all, as you know, because of truth and tuition laws in Illinois, only new students would be subject to the tuition increase. And in terms of how students will be able to afford the modest 5% increase, many of our students are Pell and MAP eligible. If you look at the current funding that is coming from our MAP grant and our Pell grant, it exceeds the total tuition cost for tuition and fees for students who are eligible for that maximum amount. But the challenge that the university has is with inflation and rising cost of personnel costs, capital improvement costs, if we don't increase our tuition, even a modest amount, it will be difficult for the university to keep pace with those expenses as we confront them. We expect that our tuition increase will, in its first year, will bring slightly more than $500,000 in revenue to the university, which is needed, but it will not impact existing students at the undergraduate level, but it will impact graduate and doctoral degree students.
President, yeah. May I supplement your answer a little bit, since being the chair of that committee?
Go ahead, Dr. Patel.
The credit, per credit rate is only increasing by about $15-16. I don't think our, as president said, that will be covered by the scholarship. If we are not getting students, that's not because of that $15. That is, our committee has discussed this thoroughly. The same question as Trustee Watkins was asking, we have a financial difficulty, how we are increasing it. So we concluded, the committee concluded, that is not going to be a deterrent for our students because that will be covered by the scholarships, both MAP grant and Pell grants. It's only $15 per credit, actually. So,
you know, obviously a balance that we in particular, Chicago State in particular, has to balance because of our student population, but the practical reality is that, you know, admission is important, will still be, I think, very, very cost effective compared to other four-year universities that our students will have an opportunity to choose from. So this is a tough decision, but one that I think we have to make to be operationally sound and continue to try and keep a balanced budget as we're required to do. Other questions? All right, I believe we have to take these resolutions.
Can I just go back to the athletics? So maybe sure. Two points. One is that I think on this budget, you know, fee resolution, I think as I said at the Audit and Finance Committee, I think in preparation of the budget that I think the board in the ordinary course would probably approve over the summer time period, it would be really helpful to make sure we get that with a lot of advance notice. And I would really like to see in a kind of high level of granularity, kind of breakouts around kind of actual student kind of instructional expense, overhead, which I know for a lot of peer institutions has in the last decade or two gone up quite dramatically as a percentage of budget. I know, you know, we have some particular challenges in that space, just given the enrollment rate. And there's obviously a level of overhead that has to happen, but I think we need to kind of look carefully at that. And then, you know, obviously there's a whole amount of kind of, you know, capital investment and, you know, maintenance just hasn't been done and needs to get brought up to speed that we're kind of working our way out of. But I think as part of the budget process, we need to have, you know, a detailed conversation about that and really also about kind of what level of enrollment is necessary for the institution to be sustainable. Because a lot of these enrollment, you know, projections of a percent increase here or there, or a goal of 5% just doesn't get us to a point where we can, as an institution, serve the constituency that we need to serve in a sustainable way, because the budget is just, I mean, the reserve is just going down, you know, every year in this, you know, we've obviously had challenges with the pandemic and everything else, but we really do need to kind of get this to a sustainable level and have a strategy to get kind of enrollment levels to something that will be sustainable, because you can't, you know, just raise tuition to do this kind of forever. So that was kind of the first just comment, I think, in anticipation of kind of the budget that we'll deal with later. And the second is with respect to this athletics fee, what is the breakout of the athletics fee for kind of intercollegiate athletics versus sort of, you know, intramural or student fitness, health, that sort of stuff?
Yep. Well, the fee, again, we run a D1 sports program, and there are certain expenses that are required for scholarship at that D1 sports level, including some of the investments that we make around our staffing, our travel, and other capital costs that are associated with managing that program. So the fee itself would be what is being allocated toward additional capital and modest capital improvements that to sustain that athletic program. I know that that you have asked for sort of a breakdown of the program and a more of a historical perspective on the program, which we are preparing to present to you, but that is where we are, and that is how those program dollars are being used to sustain and support a program. Whether we were at the D1 or D2 or other level, we would still have to have certain requirements for that program, including how we support our student athletes in terms of resources, learning resources, and other capital investments such as uniforms and shoes and travel. That would, be present even if we were at the D2 level. But we do and plan to prepare that material and present it to you.
Can I just ask, so the athletics fee that we're talking about increasing here today, does that fund student athlete scholarships?
Yes.
So we assess basically fees on non-athletes.
It does. Let me be clear. In part, but a number of our student athlete scholarships also come from our funding, and so that there is a funding source for student athletes that is not from our student fees. I mean, I can get you the breakdown of actually how much of our appropriations actually non-appropriate account actually is devoted to athletics. And I mean, there's a whole category of how you calculate these expenses and what expenses the state allows and what exceptions the president has to make around these expenses, because our program should be in the perfect world, the program should be self-sustaining, that the fees that you collect for certain games and game guarantees and ticket sales and fundraising should support the program. There's a gap in our program, which means that the university does support and sustain our program at the level it's required to be. So there are some issues. For another example, our basketball program, it will raise about $800,000 this year based on certain game guarantees that they have as part of their program. But even with that fundraising and funding, there still is a gap between the cost of the program and what the university has to provide in order to sustain the program. And also a portion of the athletics fee not goes to our fitness center and funding for intramural programs too. So it's not just going 100% to athletics. So it's a very, there are all kinds of calculations, and we can present that to you more holistically so that there is a complete understanding of expenses and costs.
Thanks. Okay, are there other questions on the fees or tuition resolutions? Okay, then I guess I will entertain a motion to approve the tuition increase resolution.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Mrs. Bates, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Schneider?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Tr- Trustee Watkins?
No.
And Trustee Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-1.
And then I would entertain a motion. So we've broken this into three now, is that right? So I'll entertain a motion to approve the mandatory fee resolution regarding the allocation of fees by credit hour.
So moved.
Second.
Ms. Bates, would you call the roll, please?
Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Schneider?
Yes.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
No.
And Trustee Chairzop?
Yes.
Motion passes 7-1.
And then finally, I would entertain a motion about the athletics fee increase.
So moved.
I'll second.
Ms. Bates?
Yes. Trustee Clay?
Yes.
Trustee David?
Yes.
Trustee Chiara?
Yes.
Trustee Schneider?
No.
Trustee Smart?
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
No.
And Chair Zopp?
Yes.
The motion passes 6 yeses to 2 noes.
Okay. And I think that concludes the Finance and Audit Committee report and resolutions.
Thanks, Trustee Schneider. All right, and then we're going to move to the foundation, and I call on Melanie Silas, the Executive Director, to present the Chicago State Foundation report.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to provide a foundation update. We could go to the next slide. So we're well on our way when it comes to fundraising in our various areas. When it comes to corporate and foundation support, we've raised $985,500 over the last quarter, which is about where we should be. When it comes to the gala, I'll speak more about it later, but we finished the event at $375,610. When it comes to major gifts, so far we've brought in one major gift for this year. And then when it comes to alumni, staff, and individual giving, we raised just over $26,000 in Q2. I do want to point out that $2,500 of that comes from our Giving Tuesday appeal, and our end of year appeal is also in progress. So I expect that number to increase a bit more before the end of the year. Another anecdotal thing I'd like to mention is that in the spirit of Giving Tuesday and recognizing that there's so many different campus events that happen for collection drives, this year for the first time we hosted a collection drive in the student union where we brought various groups together. There were 7 groups across campus that participated in total, and our director of alumni and individual giving was also available there to provide payroll deduction forms for staff who were interested in learning more about how they could support the university. We estimate that more than 200 items were collected, and a lot of those drives are still in progress. And so we wish all of those units the best of luck as they continue to have a culture of giving for this season. If we could go to the next. So as you all know, the third annual First Gen Scholarship Gala took place on September 30th of this year. It was our largest version of the event to date. We had 370 attendees, raised just over $375,000. And we over $60,000 of that came from our live challenge. Thank you so much to those of you who were able to attend in person as well as secure sponsorship. As you recall from the last board meeting that we had. We pulled that event off in 7 weeks. So I couldn't have done it without your support, and I can't say thank you enough. I also want to point out that the event was such a success that we outgrew the space, and that's a great problem to have. I'm currently working to secure another space that will seat at least 500 for next year. So that will help with my fundraising goals and to get more people in the room and in a warmer space for those of you who were able to attend the event in person this year. More specifically, we raised, we were 31 sponsors compared to the 19 that we had the year before. So it happened fast. And so we already had the venue in place, but now that we know we can move to a bigger space and indoors, because I think that time of year is just kind of tricky with outdoor events anyway. So now that COVID is subsided a bit, we'll move to an indoor space that'll be able to accommodate everyone safely. Oh, wait, last thing I'd mention is we also introduced a new award for this year, which was the Corporate Champion Award. And it's really for our corporate partners that go above and beyond, not just with financial support, but with their commitment to the university in various ways. So our first winner for this year was JPMorgan Chase, and we look forward to recognizing more of our corporate partners in the future. So in terms of grants that were awarded over the past quarter, we had a busy quarter. Under the leadership of Dr. Martis and her team, they were awarded the Sloan Foundation grant for $250K over 2 years. If you all remember, that's a partnership with Purdue University that is designed to get more students of color to pursue PhDs in chemistry. We were also awarded $75,000 for Rise Academy, from the Vivo Foundation. Wintrust also supported Rise Academy. That 75K is actually a 3-year commitment, so it's 25 each year. We also received an increased gift from Northern Trust. Usually we get 25K each year. This year they gave us 37,500. But the caveat I should mention is that according to that foundation's guidelines, we'll have to take a break next year. So that was really nice of them to give us some additional funds, recognizing that we'll have to take next year off with the support. We also received year two of our grant from the Mayor and Morris Kaplan Family Foundation. We also received a 10K renewal from Comcast for the PrEP program. The PrEP program also received $7,500 from Lemelson MIT. And then from People's Gas, we received $7,500. It says Cougar Commitment on here, but more specifically, that funding will be used to award $15,500 emergency scholarships to our students. We also have quite a bit in the pipeline. We've submitted grants to the Impact Grant Chicago in support of Rise Academy, to the Panera Bread Foundation for PrEP, and then to the Walter S. Mander Foundation, as well as SC Johnson for the Center for Workforce Equity. In terms of grants that are in process, when I say in process, that means there's a likelihood we're just working out the details of when the money will come, but we know it's coming. We're expecting 35K from Groupon for Rise Academy, 50K from Discover to support both Rise Academy and PrEP program. The 50K from Goodwill for Rise Academy and the Center for Workforce Equity. And something I should point out about the Goodwill proposal is that's a new opportunity and partnership, and that 50K proposal is also built with an option to renew for an additional 2 years. We also have it's not 50, it's a 15K proposal that's been being considered for the PrEP program with the Boeing company. And then we have a 75K proposal that we should hear on actually in a couple weeks to support what we're calling the Sophomore Academy, or the second year of the RISE program. And the ComEd funds, they're interested in building out a larger partnership. So there's already a soft commitment that this is a multi-year commitment to the university, pending us just working out more details around how their scholarships will work. Some upcoming meetings that I'm planning to engage in after the first of the year are with Deloitte, Crown Family Philanthropies, and then Circle of Service. We've also had an engaged and an active board. We've had 100% participation in our giving. I won't say much more other than that, but everyone has been tremendously supportive in a financial way. Also, just in terms of updates of our boards of directors, in case you didn't get a chance to see, our director, Aaron Emmons' company, Primera, was named on the top small employer list by the Tribune. And then our director, Leslie Anderson Rutland, will be a guest on CAN TV's In the Arena on December the 16th. Thank you. Are there any questions about what I presented today?
No, I do just want to remind the trustees that Melanie started in September. You've accomplished a lot in a short period of time. So congratulations on being off to such a strong start.
Thank you.
All right. If there are no further questions for Melanie, I think we have finished our agenda for open session so far. So we are going to move into, I'd like to move that we convene into executive session, and I need a second for that motion.
Second.
All right, Ms. Bates, will you please call the roll?
Yes, Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Smart.
Yes.
Trustee Timms?
Yes.
Trustee Watkins?
Yes.
And Chair Zopp?
Yes.
Motion passed unanimously.
All right, we will be moving into open our closed session, and we'll reopen to the public at the end of the executive session. And Ms. Bates, will you move us into the closed session?
It is adjourned. I will now close these breakout rooms and we will be back in the main. All right. I think everyone made it back over.
All right.
Let me start the recording. All right. We are good to go.
Okay. I now move to reconvene into open session. Is there a second?
A second.
Ms. Bates, could you please call the roll?
Yes, Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Smart.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
And Chair's up.
You forgot Trustee Watkins.
Oh, Trustee Watkins, I apologize.
Yes.
Chair's up.
Yes. All right. We are back. We have a couple things we have to do in open session. The first is on the minutes, lawfully closing to approve the minutes, the lawfully closed minutes resolution and keeping them closed. There's a resolution in the materials. Can I get a motion to approve that resolution?
So moved.
I'll second. And Ms. Bates, can you call the roll? And this is just a motion to keep the minutes of our closed sessions closed pursuant to the Open Meetings Act.
Correct. Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Smart.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
Chair Zopp.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All right. We have to approve our meeting dates for 2023. They are also in the materials and we discussed them. Can I get a motion to approve those dates?
So moved.
Second. I heard somebody, Jason, thank you. Ms. Bates, can you call the roll, please?
Yes, Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Smart.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
Chair Zopp.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
All righty, thank you. And now I'm going to turn it over to our general counsel, Jason Carter, who's going to lead us in our election of officers.
Thank you, Chair Zopp. I now call for a motion to open nominations for Chair of the Board of Trustees.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of opening nominations for Chair of the Board of Trustees, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Then the ayes have it. Now I will ask for nominations for Chair. Are there any nominations for Chair of the Board of Trustees?
I nominate Andrea Zopp.
Any other nominations?
We need a second for that one, Jason.
I'll second. Chair's up.
Thank you.
Seeing no additional nominations, I now call for a motion to close nominations for Chair of the Board of Trustees.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of closing the nomination for Chair of the Board of Trustees, please say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. The ayes have it. Ms. Blates, please call the roll for the election of Andy Zopp as Chair of the Board of Trustees.
Yes. Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee David. Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Smart.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
Trustee Zopp.
Yes.
The vote is unanimous, and Trustee Zopp has been duly elected as Chair of the Board of Trustees. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you all for your support.
I now call for a motion to open the nominations for Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees.
I move to open the nominations for Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of opening the nominations for Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees, please say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. The ayes have it. Now I'll ask if there are any nominations for Vice Chair. Are there any nominations for Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees?
I nominate Mark Schneider for Vice Chair.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any other nominations? Seeing no additional nominations, I now call for a motion to close the nominations for Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of closing the nomination for Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees, please say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. The ayes have it. Ms. Bates, please call the roll for the election.
Trustee Mark Schneider.
Sorry, I was in the middle of.
That's okay. You look like you were going to start coughing.
Trustee Mark Schneider as Vice Chair.
They want you to cough his name out. That would have sounded weird.
Thank you.
Yes. Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Smart.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
And Trustee Zopp.
Yes.
The vote is unanimous. Trustee David Schneider has been duly elected as Vice Chair of the Board of Trustees. Congratulations, Trustee Snyder.
Thank you.
I will now call for a motion to open nominations for Secretary of the Board of Trustees.
I move to open the nominations for Secretary.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of opening nominations for Secretary of the Board of Trustees, please say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. Now I'll ask if there are any nominations for Secretary. Are there any nominations for Secretary of the Board of Trustees?
I nominate Trustee Angelique David for Secretary.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any additional nominations? Seeing no additional nominations, I now call for a motion to close the nominations for Secretary of the Board of Trustees.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor of closing the nomination for Secretary of the Board of Trustees, please say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. Ms. Bates, please call the roll for the election of Trustee Angelique David as Secretary of the Board of Trustees.
Yes, Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Smart.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
And Trustee Zop.
Yes.
The vote is unanimous. Trustee Angelique Davis has been duly elected as Secretary of the Board of Trustees. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you both to Trustee Schneider and Trustee David for being willing to continue to serve. And thanks to all of the trustees for your diligence. We had a lot on this agenda and we covered a lot. And I really appreciate your attention and passion and concern for this university. It's important and I'm grateful. So thank you. For those of you, I think actually I will see some of you hopefully at the reception that the president is hosting for our board and the board of the foundation on Sunday. I hope that most of you can join us there. And that I don't see, I wish happy holidays and a good time with the blessings with you and to be with you and your families. And again, thank you all of you for your time and attention and interest. And President Scott will continue to send you, if she hasn't already, invitations to see the teams play. They're fun. It's always exciting. And we have a band and a cheerleading squad, so it's really they're great events and very energized. Our student trustee has told us, there's a lot of energy on campus, and that's a great thing to see. With that, I will take a motion to adjourn the December 5th, 2022 board meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees.
So moved.
A second?
Second.
Ms. Bates, please call the roll.
Yes, Trustee Clay.
Yes.
Trustee David.
Yes.
Trustee Chiara.
Yes.
Trustee Schneider.
Yes.
Trustee Smart.
Yes.
Trustee Timms.
Yes.
Trustee Watkins.
Yes.
And Chair Zop.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously.
The December 5th meeting of the Chicago State University Board of Trustees is hereby adjourned. Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much.
Good evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Great evening.